The scripture reading for today is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. The message is entitled Operation Bethlehem Baby, Hot Wash Up. And I'll talk about that in a bit. Ephesians 1, starting in the third verse. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And these next couple of verses are central to the message today. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession through the praise of his glory. The word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Almighty and all-knowing God, Father, we thank you for the gift of your holy inspired word, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation. Powerful, effective, inerrant. Lord, we pray for God the Holy Spirit to be upon us now to prepare our minds and our hearts to receive your word. Lord, do not let me get in your way. May it be your message. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Operation Bethlehem Baby. The hot wash up. So what's a hot wash up? Well, it's a common term in the military. After a large scale operation or a campaign or an exercise, representatives from different units involved and the decision makers, they all gather together to review what happened. First, the initial goals are laid out, and then everything that happened is evaluated to determine how those goals were either met or missed. You know, what can we do? What can we do better? And in the Coast Guard, which, as you all know, I spent 3 decades of my life, there were sometimes be a hot wash up after a large scale search and rescue operation. And there might be small boats involved, various sized cutters, a variety of aviation assets, and several command and communication centers. And likely there might be other agencies involved too, maybe maritime police or commercial vessels or foreign nations even. Now, God becoming man in the person of the infant Jesus was the biggest rescue operation of all time. There were literally players from heaven and earth. It was a rescue operation of cosmic proportions. Now, the military likes to give special names to special operations, right? So I chose this name for this rescue effort, Operation Bethlehem Baby. Now, the scripture tells us that God had several goals connected to the incarnation. In today's text, we are told that Jesus came that we may have redemption through his blood. More globally, the purpose of the Messiah was to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ, under Jesus. And the archangel Gabriel told Joseph that Jesus would save people from their sins. That's why he was called Jesus. That's what his name means, Savior. The angel announced to the shepherds, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." And the heavenly host sang out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And Isaiah prophesied about the coming Messiah. Scripture you know well. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So my intent now is to evaluate how Operation Bethlehem Baby met the recorded goals of God. Now, the purpose of a hot wash-up is not to assign blame or figure out who messed up, right? It's to identify weaknesses and vulnerabilities. What did we do well and what could we do better? Were there communication complications? Maybe our equipment needs to be updated. We need to identify ways to improve our coordination and our timing. Time, yes, is certainly an issue. God's timing and our perception of time are completely different, right? The Apostle Peter reminds us in his second letter, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day." And Peter was addressing concerns about the delay in Jesus' second coming. The Apostle Paul also wrote to the churches because many Christians in the early church were concerned about the delay in Jesus' return. They looked around the world and they thought surely Jesus' return was imminent. The Messiah's first coming had not panned out the way most of Israel had expected. And the early church celebrated Christ's victory over sin and death through his crucifixion and his resurrection, and yet they suffered great persecution. Jesus had taught, "Blessed are those that are persecuted for my sake." And Paul taught that suffering was part of the Christian walk. It is part of the sanctification process, and that we should actually rejoice in our suffering. Peter said over and over again that there was a direct connection between suffering and the glory to come. The book of Hebrews repeatedly tells us to endure in the faith, to not fall away, to hold fast to your confession of hope. And here we are, 2,000 years later, and Jesus has not returned. What is going on? In many places of the world, in the Middle East and in Africa and in Asia, Christians are being persecuted and even killed for the confession of Jesus as Savior. Where is the Prince of Peace? Where is the government that Jesus will bear on his shoulders? Yes, God's timing is problematic for us. I know it is for me. The incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us, is Jesus breaking through the barrier of time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, that's from the opening of the Gospel of John. And the 14th verse, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God was before time and is outside of time. All of time is held in view by God at once. Now, it's hard for us to perceive this concept, but every frame in the film of time can be seen by God in a glance. We are told that things happened before time. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Followers of Jesus have had their names written in the book of life from the creation of the world. These are all things that Scripture teaches us. The Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world. God's saving grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet, his work has been finished since the creation of the world. Our New International Version translation tells us that Jesus' purpose was to bring all things together under him. It's also translated as uniting all things in him, or summing up all things in Christ, or gathering all things together in him. Now, I'm going to come back to the purpose in a minute, but when is this all supposed to happen? When the times will have reached their fulfillment, the Scripture tells us. At the fullness of time, at the fullness of the times, plural, or in the dispensation of the fullness of time. But when is that? Paul tells us in Galatians, but when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoptions as sons and daughters. When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son. Is there a problem with our communication channels in regard to Operation Bethlehem Baby? When is this fullness of time? Well, the problem is in our finite capabilities living in time to comprehend an infinite God who is outside of time. To make it a little clearer, let us look at what happens when baby Jesus is brought to the temple when he's 8 days old. Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he has seen the Lord's Christ. Of course, Christ means Messiah. When Joseph and Mary brought Jesus, Simeon took him in his arms. And then Simeon said, Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. By seeing Jesus, he had seen salvation. They are one and the same. And the time element is not considered. So, have the goals of Operation Bethlehem Baby been accomplished? In a sense, yes, but they have not become fully realized. How do we respond to this reality? How do we communicate to other people the truth of the gospel that seems on the surface to be obscure? This Christmas morning, Friday, people woke up to find out that there was a large explosion and fire in downtown Nashville. Does that sound like the Prince of Peace is on the throne? Does that sound like a world where the government is on the shoulders of the Savior? There is no peace on earth. Where is the joy? How is God being glorified? Where is God in this? Well, on television, they've started a review of 2020 like they do every year after Christmas, right? Maybe you've heard some of them. I did yesterday morning. Most everyone agrees that it has been one of the most challenging years in many decades. Division and divisiveness seem at an all-time high. There has been a lot of racial tension and civil unrest. Then we have the COVID-19 pandemic, which you're probably sick of hearing about. Not only are the medical issues and death because of the virus, there have been catastrophic effects on the economy. There has been abuse of governmental power. There are many implications for the resulting social isolation. Sin caused scattering while Christ brings gathering. From the very beginning of the human race, this holds true. Sin caused scattering while Christ brings gathering. Adam and Eve were disobedient and were cast out of the idyllic Garden of Eden and blessed communion with their father. Cain kills Abel, and God punished Cain by making him a wanderer of the earth. The human race, determined to find its own way back to heaven, and built the Tower of Babel. The Lord confused their language and dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Scattering is punishment, and gathering is redemption. It appears that the scattering, the dividing, the isolating is still happening. Why? Because sin is rampant. The evidence surrounds us. Did Operation Bethlehem Baby fail? Or have we, the church, failed? Salvation has come, but it has not come to completion. Now, there's another obstacle hindering our hot wash-up. We know very little about what is going on in the heavenly realm and the spiritual sphere. We know that Lucifer and a third of his angels were cast out of heaven. We know that demonic activity affects human beings. The book of Daniel tells us about the archangel Michael battling the prince of the kingdom of Persia in the spiritual realm. We also know that the book of Revelation has a lot to say about cosmic battles. In Christ Jesus, through whom all things were made and held together, they were in fact made for him, the scriptures tell us. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At the right hand of God the Father, all things have been placed under the Son's authority. So, we should not be surprised that his primary purpose in coming is to gather all things of heaven and earth unto himself. The scriptures teach us that Jesus is the way connecting heaven and earth. John 1, verse 51, Jesus added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus entered time, ushered in by the heavenly host singing Alleluia. He was ministered to angels by angels in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was ministered by angels when he went through his temptation by Satan. He told the disciples that there were always 12 legions of angels at his disposal. There were angels to greet the women at the empty tomb. There were angels at Jesus' ascension into the heaven on the clouds. And when Jesus returns on the clouds, it will be with his angels in a loud trumpet blast. At that time, the dead in Christ will rise first, and the church of Christ will be raptured. A.W. Tozer wrote in his devotional for December 23rd, "Christmas is real, And this primary verse was 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Great is the mystery. God was manifest in the flesh. The birth of Christ was a divine declaration, an eternal statement to a race of fallen men and women. The advent of Christ clearly established, first, that God was real. The heavens were opened and another world came into view. Second, that human life is essentially spiritual, with the emergence into human flesh of the eternal word of the Father. The fact of man's divine origin is confirmed. Third, that God indeed has spoken by the prophets. The coming of the Messiah, Savior, into the world confirmed the veracity of the Old Testament scripture. Fourth, that man is lost but not abandoned. Had men not been lost, no Savior would have been required. Had they been abandoned, no Savior would have come. Finally, that this world is not the end. We are made for two worlds. And as surely as we now inhabit the one, we shall inhabit the other. Now in the Coast Guard, we had a database to collect all the information from the hot wash-ups. And because we love acronyms in the military, we called it Seagulls. Not the bird. It stood for Coast Guard Universal Lessons Learned System. And today I tell you that Operation Bethlehem Baby was a success. To understand this, we must expand our understanding of time. To communicate this effectively to others, we must expand our knowledge of the scriptures. A great wind started on this past Christmas Eve and continued throughout the night. I know some people had problems sleeping that night because of it. And on Christmas morning, a trampoline was found in the middle of the cemetery at Absecon United Methodist Church. They posted a picture of it on Facebook, and I joked that maybe people were trying to bounce into heaven. But it is my prayer for a great wind of the Holy Spirit to blow across our land. It is my prayer for revival to come. Jesus taught about the end of this age in Matthew chapter 24. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. God's gospel message must reach everyone, the ends of the world. And then Jesus will come. If you turn to the last book of your Bibles, the last two verses of Revelation, you will see. He who testifies to these things says, Jesus' words, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with us all. Amen. Those are the closing words of God's inspired scriptures. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for our Bibles. We thank you that it is a living word. We can see that prophecy has come true. We see that the Messiah has come. And we look forward to his return. When the holy city will be realized, when the new heaven and new earth becomes our home. Lord, we pray that you guide us to someone aching to hear this good news of the beloved Jesus. I pray this in his name. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen.